It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up this hour, it's our regular Teach Me What You Know segment. Today, how to perform well on a job interview. First, we're joined by a philosophy professor who finds meaning in life on the run with his pack of dogs.
Mark Rowlands is here to talk about why he runs, how running with his dogs and one-time wolf changed him, and his thoughts on mortality. Mark is a professor of philosophy at the University of Miami and the author of Running with the Pack. Mark, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Veronica. How are you?
Doing all right.
Good, good.
Well, your wolf, Brennan, is a big reason you started running. Can you set the stage for us where you were in life when you started running with a pack?
Yeah, when I was 27, I did something a bit stupid. Well, probably many things stupid, actually, but this is the only one I remember, let's say. So when I bought Brennan, he was a sort of six-week-old wolf cub. At least he sold him as a wolf. I suspect he was a sort of high-contact wolf dog. But whatever he was, he had certain sort of idiosyncrasies, which basically involved him eating everything I owned if I left him on his own for more than a couple of minutes. And I suppose one day my reflections were sort of disturbed by the sound of sort of loud thuds coming from the room out the back of the house. And you know, when Brennan was a cub, he had this game. He used to take a cushion off the armchair and tear off out the garden. You know, it was a game of chase, basically. He wanted me to chase him. And it was a good game. But one day he decided to modify it, and the loud thuds I heard, he decided instead of taking the cushion, it might be a good idea to take the rest of the armchair too. And the loud thuds I heard was the sound of the chair, you know, sort of locked firmly in his jaws, being repeatedly slammed against the frame of the back door. And I suppose it was at precisely this moment that I decided that, you know, all things considered, it might be really, really good if Brennan were constantly exhausted. And that's how my life of running as an adult began, I suppose.
Slamming an armchair against a wall, I'm guessing that's something only a big wolf could pull off.
Yeah, well, he wasn't even fully grown. He was only about 6 months
wow.
old at the time. So,
well, when you first began running, you had a little bit of athlete envy. Your wolf, Brennan, looked so much more effortless at the run than you did. You write about how he seemed like he was floating a couple of inches above the ground. How did running with a sleek predator like that change your runs?
Well, no, apart from the sort of the mild case of species envy, I suppose, you know, it didn't really change it that much. I mean, I suppose, you know, in hindsight, the whole idea of running this dog into tiredness didn't really work because, you know, as I got fitter, he got fitter, and then, you know, used to sort of plunge him into an exhausted sleep for the rest of the day. Now he just regarded as a sort of gentle loosener, you know. So I did a lot of running in those days, basically through necessity.
Now, as you've run over the years, your animal companions have changed. You've lost Brennan. You've lost other dogs as well. And you've had to take on new, younger dogs. You talk about sort of how you feel like you're getting older and then younger again in the process. But through all that, why do you prefer running with dogs when other athletes might like to run with a pack of other runners?
Yeah, I suppose there's a certain... being a philosophy professor, I suppose I'm supposed to think for a living, and there's a certain kind of point on the run where I sort of reach a point where things go very well. I call it the sort of heartbeat of the run, and I found that dogs they tend to sort of augment or accentuate the heartbeat of the run. So, you know, running beside me, there's not just my breath and my rhythm, but also, you know, the click, click, click of their claws on the tarmac, the pant of their breaths, the sort of jingle of their chains. And this all kind of, you know, melds and fuses together and forms something like what I think of anyway as a heartbeat. And it's in the heartbeat of the run that, you know, various things that I've been working on, you know, over the preceding weeks or months, various problems I've been trying to solve, they often just seem to solve themselves, you know.
Well, as a philosopher, you've been doing something that you write has kind of gone out of favor. You're thinking about the meaning of life as you run, or at least you're experiencing it as you run. How would you say running connects you with the question of the meaning of life?
Yeah, I suppose that the book isn't about running. Well, it is about running, but it's also about the meaning of life. And the basic idea is that the things we do in life, they divide into two kind of broad sorts. There are things we do only for the sake of other things, like being paid, for example. Work would be the classic example. But there are a small number of things that we, you know, we do for their own sake, just to do them. And the first sort of things, the things we do for the sake of other things, they have a certain sort of value that philosophers call instrumental value. Their value is as instruments or tools to get you something else. But the things we do for their own sake, they have a different kind of value altogether. It's what's sometimes called intrinsic value. And, you know, when you think about how I started off running, that I was basically trying to save the small number of things I still owned, you know, from the activities of a rapacious canine. That's a very kind of instrumental origin, you know, to why I run. But I suppose over the years, this sort of transformed, and there just came a certain point when I realized that I was running just to run, you know, for no other reason, not for health, not because the dogs needed it, not for the quality of thought that it sort of produced, but I was just running in order to run. And I think it's in those sorts of moments that you kind of realize that what's really important in life are the things that have intrinsic value, whether this is other people would be the standard example, but it's also, I think, and this was the sort of the point of the book, it's those little things we do in life that we do for their own sake and not for the sake of something else.
Well, you talk a bit about philosophers as you contemplate running, and I wonder if you think that any of their views on life line up with what you feel when you're running.
I suppose there are different stages to a run, you know, if you run long enough. And in the first stage, you know, I'm sort of fully embodied self, you know, because when you get to my age, you're either injured or you're about to get injured, you know. And so my attention is sort of keenly tuned to any kind of bodily disturbance. You know, what does this tightening in my calf mean? You know, should I stop or should I stretch and go on and so on? So I'm fully kind of, this sort of corresponds to the philosophical view known as materialism, associated with philosophers like Thomas Hobbes and people like that. But then after a certain sort of stage, you get to what I call the Cartesian phase of the run, after the philosopher René Descartes, who distinguished between the body. The body is always one thing, it's a physical thing, a physical organism, just like the bodies of other creatures. But there's also a mind, a non-physical thing. And this is the sort of stage where I get to in the second part of the run, where I'm sort of telling myself little lies, like, you know, get me to the corner of 104th and then you can walk for a while, and things like that. And as if there is this sort of mind which is in control, and the body is just this, is basically just the dupe. But then there's another stage, and after that, the sort of mind kind of breaks down. There's no longer really a mind there doing the thinking. There are just various thoughts which seem to come from nowhere and often disappear just as quickly. And this is kind of like the view of the mind associated with the Scottish philosopher David Hume, who thought that we were just a bundle of thoughts and feelings and emotions, and there's nothing else sort of to us. And so what we have, I think, in each sort of successive phase of the run is a gradual kind of shrinking of the self, from this fully embodied self to this disembodied mind to this sort of bundle of thoughts. And so I think there are parallels between, you know, the history of a run as you start off and then gradually make your way home in a sort of semi-exhausted state, to the way the history of philosophy developed over the past couple of thousand years.
Now, you've run in different countries, in different climates, with different companion animals, and obviously you've thought about a lot about the meaning of life as you do it. And I know from reading your book that you don't believe in an afterlife, but if you did, what run would you want to relive as your version of heaven?
Oh, you know, in the summer, I sort of returned, I suppose, to the place I grew up. It was in southeast Wales, and my parents moved away when I was around about 20. So I hadn't been back for about 30 years, and I was running along the river there, the River Wye, with my dog Hugo, who came over with us. And there was something that felt very right about that run, and I couldn't put my finger on it until I realized a few days later. Well, I was running with a dog, as I would have when I was a kid. On one side of me there was this river, and on the other side there were these sort of plunging hillsides. And I think that's why it felt right. I have no real memories of running when I was a kid. I just sort of, hardly any anyway. I sort of remember that I ran with a dog, but I don't really have many concrete kind of memories of it. I think this feeling of rightness was the form that those memories kind of took. And I can't really think of a run I've sort of enjoyed more than that. So that would have to be one of the leading candidates, I guess.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming on and talking about it today.
Thank you, Veronica. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
We've been talking to Mark Rowlands, a professor of philosophy at the University of Miami. He's the author of Running with the Pack. And by the way, we have a picture of Mark from a while ago with his original running companion, Brennan, a gigantic wolf that's worth checking out on our page.